Cedar Show. Introducing conservatives to real American values. Real American values, meet conservatives. Conservatives, this is Real American Values. I'll let you two get to know each other. It's the Sam Cedar Show.
That's it? I thought we were going to fix that. Mark Maron in for Cedar. Good morning, geniuses, philosopher, kings and queens, working class heroes, progressive utopians with no sense of humor, you lurking conservatives. Good morning to you as well. I'd like to send out a special good morning to Senator Tim Johnson, who apparently is conscious occasionally and being sedated so he can get some rest. And he's blinking. And as I said yesterday, that means he's okay to serve in the Senate as far as I'm concerned, my friends. I got an email from a guy yesterday that says, this is a dude, I guess I can't say his name. He emailed me at my website. That's markmaron.com if you'd like to see the new website. Not that I'm self-promoting or have anything to really sell there, but I am proud of the job my buddy Adam did on my website. But here is the email that I got referring to our discussion of Senator Tim Johnson yesterday. Quote, one thing about the senator with the arteriovenous malformation, it could be a coincidence or somewhat prophetic. His current medical report states that he has a strong grasp on his left, but is decidedly weaker on the right. Thank you, Bruce. That was very clever and very funny. And I think you're lying. I don't think that's really true. A couple of interesting New York moments. Since I've been back, I am becoming re-enamored with the city. I didn't think I missed it, but man, I think I do now. Just because people in New York are great. Any reputation that this city has in out there in the world as being scary or dangerous or callous or cold is just complete crap. I'd be honest with you. I think that the people in New York are the nicest people I've ever been in contact with in my life. And just by virtue of the fact that New York is one of the only places that almost 90% of the time, if you're standing somewhere, there is someone next to you that is really too close and intruding on your personal space completely. And you sort of have to deal with that and invite it in, and you just learn how to live with that. But I don't know what it is. I had a moment in the elevator that was just too funny to me that I don't think it could have happened anywhere else. And it just happened. I'm waiting for the elevator. The door opens and there's a guy standing in there, and I go, are you going down? And he looks at me with horror. And I'm like, what? Is this going down? Are you going down? He's like, I walk in and I see that lobby is pushed. I'm like, I just wanted to see if you, he's like, I just didn't know what you meant by the question. I didn't know what you meant. I didn't want to answer it right away because I don't know. You don't know. I'm like, I understand. Take it easy. I understand the misunderstanding, but, once I was in the elevator, I said, so are you going down or what? Are we doing this? What's happening? I did say that because, you know, I should have, but I didn't. We had that weird moment and he was completely defensive and he did the right. All right, pal. See you later, buddy. Okay, buddy. You know, that weird sort of distancing buddy. That's something that's a part of the New York dialect. Okay, buddy. We'll see you later. It's friendly, but it clearly means get the hell out of the way. Just keep moving. That's not cold. That's just the way we talk here. Let's talk about important things, folks. Laura Bush had a squalor cell. Is that how you say it? A squalor cell, I believe, because is it squamous? Squamous cell. Bad. That's not a good one. She had that cancer removed from her leg. Now, if only we could remove the international malignancy in the White House that is also connected to her, that would be a tremendous feat. But I want to say something about skin cancer, if I could. Am I going to tell you about this? Because no one, you know, everyone's been very polite here at Air America about this thing on my face. And I maybe some people can't see it. You know, it's sort of like, you know, when you're high and you're sitting there thinking at a party, like, oh man, everyone knows I'm high. Everybody knows I'm high. And then you start doing things like saying things like, dude, I'm sorry, I'm really high. And they go, well, we didn't know we were high. So I had this I have this thing on my face, and people who are honest usually go, dude, what's up with your face? Because it doesn't look like much now. But I had a basal cell on my nose, right here on my nose. Now, don't get freaked out. Basal cell apparently is not a life-threatening cancer. I didn't know this until I had a biopsy. I had a thing on my nose for months this little hard thing. I thought it was a pimple, but in my head, I knew maybe it's not a pimple, but I can't deal with it. The power of denial is very deep, and I think it's a reason why most people, I swear to God, I don't know if there are numbers on this, but I think it's a reason why a lot of people die of diseases that they shouldn't have, because they say, this is going to get better, this is going to go away, this is nothing, and by the time they get to the doctor, they're already in trouble. So I got this thing on my face, and my father, who is an ex-doctor, in his very sort of loving and caring way, started poking my nose, started going, you got to get that checked. What is that? You got to get that checked. Have you had that checked? That looks bad. You should get that checked. Go to a dermatologist and get that checked. So I go to the dermatologist. I get the biopsy, and the guy says, listen, he comes back in after the biopsy, and he goes, he's smiling, and he goes, you got cancer. And I'm like, what? He goes, you got cancer, but it's the good cancer. It's, if you're going to get cancer, this is really the best cancer to get. And I'm like, I have cancer? No, but it's good cancer. This thing on your nose, when you're a dermatologist, and it's not a melanoma, it's not a precancer, it is not a squamous cell, it's a basal cell, which only spreads on the skin, does not become malignant, does not infect other parts of your body. So when this happens, it's a bright part of their day, because they could actually say, yay, he's got, and it's like an office policy, because I had to make an appointment to get a procedure done, to get it removed. And I called up and I said I have a basal cell and I need to get the Mohs procedure. And the secretary is like, I know, I heard you have a little cancer. And I'm like, I get it. It's not a bad cancer. Can we quit the charade and move on? What do we do now? Where do we go with this? Now, I thought, am I going to talk about this for a while? I think I am. I thought that the Mohs procedure, which is the treatment for cancer. And I think what I'm trying to do here is reach out to people. Get your moles checked, my friends. All right, because this is serious. And I think that Laura Bush, and I'm being generous here because as a human, I care about her as a human, though that she's barely that in some respects. But get yourself checked out with this stuff, because I had to get this Mohs procedure. I didn't know what it was. I thought I was going in to have a mole removed, to just have something burned off. And then I found out about it, and it's really this profoundly... it's not complicated, but it's a long procedure where they shave a piece of your cell off, they biopsy it, and if there's more, they come back and they do it again. And this could go on for many times. And I'm in show business. So I call my dermatologist after I find out what it is, and after my mother says I should get a second opinion. And I said, so this, I'm going to be on television. Are you going to ruin my face? Can you do this procedure? Are you confident? And my doctor says, yeah, I don't know. Maybe you should go to another guy. I'm like, well, that's tremendous. I thank you for your vote of confidence. Who's the other guy? He says, you got to go to this guy, Moy. He's the guy. He is the basal cell guy. He's the Mohs procedure dude. He does everybody. He's out at UCLA. He's a genius. So I make an appointment with this guy, Moy. I go in for this Mohs procedure, which I think is going to take an hour. All right. I get there. They shoot my nose full of Novocaine. They cut into the first layer. They biopsy it. I'm sitting out in the waiting room with gauze in my face. I wait an hour. I come back in. He's like, ah, there's still a little more in there. And I'm like, okay. So he goes in again, shoots you with Novocaine, shaves a little more off. He goes, does the biopsy. All right. Comes back. There's more in there. There's 2 hours, hour two. They do it again. Boom. Little Novocaine in my nose. Pow. Cut off a little more. Biopsy it. Third hour. He comes back. Ah, it's deep. And I'm like, what, are you kidding me? And then I'm in the office with the tech. No one but me and the tech. And I go, can I see what you're doing to my face? And he goes, no, we don't do that. I'm like, I'm paying for this. Show me what you're doing to my face. And he gives me the mirror, and I look at my face. There's a hole the size of a quarter on the size of my nose, on the side of my nose. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And there's that moment where you think in your head, why'd I do this? What, like it was a voluntary thing? Oh, I remember, because I had cancer on my face. All right. So here's what goes down. So then the main doctor comes in, Dr. Moy, after they get it all out, four deep into my face. He comes in, he goes, yeah, that was deep. I'm pretty sure I can close that. And I'm like, what's with the lack of confidence in you guys? The first guy didn't want to do the surgery. Now you think you can close the hole in my face? So now I'm going into surgery. You go down the hall for surgery. It's Dr. Moy. It's his sidekick doctor. There's two UCLA residents in there who are studying, and then the tech person. I'm laying on the back. I'm laying on this thing. I'm laying down. They shoot my nose up with Novocaine. I see little flaps in my face hanging over, my nose. And I'm laying there. And Dr. Moy and the sidekick doctor are sitting there talking about how they're going to do it. Well, should you go in like this? Or I don't know what we should do because it's kind of deep. And I'm like, fellas, I'm right here. You want to take it outside? Maybe discuss this outside. while you're doing this, so I don't need to be part of this weird insecurity among dermatologists and plastic surgeons. What kind of bedside manner is this? You're like, I don't know if I could do it. I think I'm shaking. All right. So they figure out what they're going to do. And then Dr. Moy, the main guy, leaves me with the sidekick doctor to do the surgery. So I'm with the sidekick doctor and two UCLA residents who are hanging over my face. All right. And one of the UCLA residents, he goes, so I'm saying, wait there. I got flaps of skin. They're cutting into me. And he goes, so you're a comedian? And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. So now I'm thinking, oh, boy, I better turn on the juice. I hope I'm funny. And I'm like, well, I don't have to be funny. I'm having surgery on my face. Oh, God. He goes, well, who's your favorite comic? No. He goes, do you do a Seinfeld impression? What, are you kidding me? I don't even like Seinfeld. I don't do impressions. Why is that the first question he asked? I got a hole in my face, and you're going to talk to me about this crap? I don't even like Seinfeld. Then the guy's doing the surgery says, well, who's your favorite comic if you don't like Seinfeld? And I go, Richard Pryor. He goes, Richard Pryor? Richard Pryor, why? And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Look, I'm going to tell you the end of the story because it got weird. So stay with us. It's Mark Maron. I'm in for Cedar. I'll tell you the end of the story. We'll talk about real news. 17 past. It is the Sam Cedar Show.
Mark Maron, replacing one ranting Jew with another all week long on the Sam Cedar Show on Air America Radio.